And tonight, if you take your Bible, please open to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. I have to say, probably one of the favorite chapters in the Bible that I know people say, well, what's your favorite chapter or favorite book in the Bible? That's a hard thing, but I've said it before, and I think probably my favorite book, if I had to choose, would be probably Psalms. There's a lot of it. You get a lot for your money. You know, so if I had one book, I'd take that one. But the book of Psalms, and then, you know, my kids have asked me that, and different people ask me that. But Matthew chapter 6 is a very instrumental chapter in my life early on as a Christian. I got saved 50 years ago. That first summer, I just read through the New Testament. Just a little Billy Graham evangelistic edition, paperback, New Testament from cover to cover, I read it. Did I understand a lot? No, I didn't know. It's like, okay, but I read it. But the Spirit of God made it, it did make a lot of spiritual sense the more as I read it. I said, okay, now I see that. It just started to come together. But Matthew 6, and especially those first couple of years in my life as a believer, God really used the truths. And the verse I've adopted kind of as a life verse that if I sign a verse with my name, will be Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And God has truly been good. But this whole chapter is part of the Sermon on the Mount. And tonight, we're just going to read, to start with, we'll just read verses 1 through the first 15 verses. It's a quick read. So tonight, let's all read together responsibly Matthew 6, 1 through 15. Let's all read together on verse 1 and every other verse through verse 15. Take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret. And thy Father, which seeth in secret, himself shall reward thee openly. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Tonight, I'm just going to have, it's a simple Bible study. It's going to be a look at the model prayer. We're going to look at the model prayer here tonight as given in Matthew chapter 6. There's another reference in Luke chapter 11. We're not going to look at that one. We'll just look in Matthew chapter 6 tonight at the model prayer. Father, bless your word tonight as we open it together and study it, look into it, challenge our hearts, stir us, Lord, again, to love you more. In Jesus' name we ask this. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. You know, the chapter speaks of, chapter 6 in summary just is talking about praying, and then he goes talking about fasting, and then there's also giving mentioned. And the word alms is just simply a religious practice that you would do to the Lord, such as giving, praying, like that's mentioned here, to God. Just it's between you and God. The Pharisees obviously had a hard time with that because they did a lot of things just to be seen of men. And they wanted to make sure people realized how long they prayed, you know, and all of the prayers that they would make. And I can see them right now. They would stand on the corners. And when they would fast, they'd disfigure their faces, and they would just appear to other men. Jesus, when he taught his disciples at the Sermon on the Mount, said, don't you do that. He says, when you keep your alms secret, don't even know, let your right hand know what your left hand's doing. You give to the Lord. You spend time alone with God. And he says, if when you pray to God in secret, he'll reward you openly. I love the chapter. It's interesting how he mentions vain repetitions. And he says, don't be like the heathen that use vain repetitions. And we know that those are, that's kind of like, you know, the story of Elijah and the prophets of Baal and the sacrifice, and how those prophets of Baal, they cut themselves and they just over and over cried out to Baal. And, you know, finally Elijah saying, you guys done yet? You know, waiting for them to finish all of their vain repetitions. Oh, Baal, oh, Baal. And hearing, and the irony of this whole thing is that the Lord's Prayer itself has become, with some people, just that. They say it rotely and without giving it a lot of thought. It, in some places, there's nothing wrong with quoting it together and saying it. It's beautiful. It's the prayer. It's not the Lord's Prayer. And a lot of times people say, well, let's say the Lord's Prayer. Obviously, we realize it's called the model prayer because the Lord's Prayer is more John chapter 17 when we see that high priestly prayer that he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. Here, he's responding to the disciples asking about praying, and he's showing them. He says, when you pray, this is how you pray. So this is simple. This is a basic, simple outline. We have a really good habit of taking things that are simple and making them complex. I'm good at that. I really am. I have to say, I'm very good at taking something that would be very simple and making it complex. I've always liked, like I said, I liked math, and my grandfather, when I was a teenager, I think, and we were sitting around the table one day, and he said, I got a math question for you. I said, okay, kind of got my attention. He said, if 33 and one-third cent is a third of a dollar, he says, what's a third of a dollar and a half? And I sat there, and immediately in my mind, what I started, here's how I started to figure that problem. This is the way I would do it. Like I said, most people say, oh, dollar and a half, a third of a dollar and a half, 50 cents, right? I mean, it's easy. Not me. He got me because I was sitting there, and I was taking 33 and a third, and I was dividing it in half, which is 16 and two-thirds for you, if you know fractions. So it's to me, I thought, oh, okay, 33. No, you didn't even realize the half is 33 and a third was 16 and two-thirds, did you? But anyway, and then I was adding 16 and two-thirds to 33, and I was just getting ready to say 50, and he was smiling at me the whole time. Look, it took me a long time. He says, 50 cents. You know, and he got me. Because I take things that are simple sometimes, and I comp, you know, my mind is just, well, here, what we do a lot of times in Scripture, you ever notice some simple truths in the Bible that children can understand? That's how Jesus was. He taught so simply and made it so plain. His truth, the spiritual truth, was so plain and teach it to people. But we try to take it and put all of these extra things on it and say, you got to hop through this hoop and jump through this hoop and do this and that. It's what we do. And I confess, in teaching, they always taught us the acrostic KISS. They said, KISS, keep it simple, stupid. That's really what they were saying. Keep it simple, or keep it short. Keep it simple. Be simple. Don't get way over their head. And I always had a tendency to try to get way too involved, and I still do that today. And my children would tell you that when they would ask me a simple question, I would literally, it's what you call take a, it's like killing a fly with a sledgehammer, you know, instead of a fly. You know, I would go into a long explanation. I think they quit asking questions after a while because they just kind of like, okay. Well, we're going to look at this quickly tonight, simply. And down at verse 9, when he starts the prayer, he said, after this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. So he starts off with calling him Father. I love that picture because as a dad, I can relate to that. It's easier for me as a father now, since I've had children, to be able to relate and understand what it's like when your children ask things of you. And so I can relate to when we go to our Father in heaven to ask of him. Now, in the strictest sense of the word, prayer means asking. John R. Rice wrote the book, Prayer, Asking and Receiving. I've read it through two or three times. I've read that book through. And he basically says, prayer is asking. And even the old English term when someone says, I pray thee, and they're asking something. So to pray in the strictest sense is to ask. However, when we fellowship with the Lord, when we spend time with God, when we commune with God, it's more than just asking. I mean, could you imagine just having a conversation with somebody coming in and all you do is just and no time for fellowshipping time? See, I learned the acrostic a long time ago about prayer, and it's the word ACTS, and you probably heard it too, where A stands for adoration. You take your time. Where here he says, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. He says, your name is holy. You're in heaven. You stop and think about the immensity of the God's greatness, his power, all of those things, and you soon are overwhelmed. Just like the psalmist said in Psalm 139, he says, he talks about all of these things, it's too much for me. He says, it's high, I can't attain unto it. All of these, he says, all these thoughts, my little brain can't wrap itself around God. And when we stop and go into God's presence and realize who it is that we are speaking with, it causes us to get into that frame of mind to realize that, listen, nothing's too hard for God. And also, we also have to realize he's our Father. He wants to give us good things. I mean, any dad knows that when his children ask things, he wants to give good things to them. Of course, there are things that we realize as dad, if your children ask for things that are inappropriate or that's not safe for them, of course, there's a lot of times it's just not now or no. God has a lot of responses to those things. Sometimes it's wait. Sometimes it's just no. Sometimes you have to grow a little bit before you are able to receive this. But God has his perfect will and timing and all of that. So here as he opens the prayer, simply, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. I've mentioned this before, but I think it's very interesting that I'll mention this about coming to a king. John Newton wrote these words. John Newton, the slave trader, he's the one also that wrote Amazing Grace. Amazing. This is called Coming to a King. It's a short little poem, four lines. Thou art coming to a king, large petitions with thee bring, for his grace and power are such, none can ever ask too much. John Newton said that because you realize who it is when you speak to God. We just don't rush into it. Now, there's times for that. I realize that. There are times you need you just call out to God. And prayer is one of those things that you begin, and I mean, you take a quiet time with God, and you have that time. But throughout the day, as we pray to the Lord, there's a total, all throughout the day, what the Bible talks about, pray without ceasing. You know what I'm speaking about. Things are on your mind. You'll speak out in your heart to the Lord. There'll be times that you need something. You just right then. And sometimes some of our most serious praying is done just like that. But it's made possible when we take that other time that when we spend in fellowship with God and stop and first of all adore him, A, adoration, C, confession. We come to God and realize we're unworthy because of our sin, Lord. And listen, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. That's in the Greek language. It's continually. He's continually cleansing. Why is he continually cleansing? Because we're continually getting dirty. It's like somebody says, well, I'll wait to the end of the day, and I say, well, Lord, if there's anything else, wait a minute. You're way missing it. You got to realize if you're sensitive to the Spirit of God, you realize that throughout the day, several times, you're continually saying, oh, Lord, forgive me, help me. I shouldn't have done that, or I should have done this. I should have given that person a track. I didn't. God, help me. But we're praying throughout the day, and we're doing that. So the confession. Then there's thanksgiving, ACT, acts, ACT. That would be thanksgiving to God. Always thank God. What a blessing. Say, Lord, thank you for answered prayer. Thank you, that person's off the prayer list. Thank you for Aaron being off the prayer list. The other person that was in the serious car accident, they got healed too. I mean, these people, it seemed like, you ever notice sometimes prayer requests don't, some of them don't, they don't stay on here very long. And God decides to answer them quickly. Some of them, others, it's many, many years. But God's timetable is not our timetable. He's on a completely different time zone. I don't know what they call that time zone, you know, but that's perfect time zone because God has everything in order and he's got it under control. So, and then the last one, the S on Acts would be supplication. That's when you supplicate and you pray for others and you beg God and you give him your request. But anyone who has a relationship and a time of communion with God is a give and take. George Mueller, here's this thing with George Mueller I wanted to just share with you too. It says, I've shared this before in Sunday school, but it says George Mueller also combined Bible study with prayer. We know George Mueller for his great, you say, wow, he's a great prayer warrior. He would pray and God would just hear an answer. Well, there's a secret to that though. And his prayer, it says he combined Bible study with prayer in the quiet morning hours. At one time, his practice, it says, was to give himself to prayer after having dressed in the morning. So he'd get dressed and pray. But then his plan underwent a change. As he himself put it, this is what George Mueller said. He says, I saw the most important thing I had to do was to give myself to the reading of the Word of God. Now, there's a reason for this. Okay, so hear me out. A lot of you say, well, I want to go into God's presence and I'm going to just, I got a lot of things I got to ask him for. So I got to just kind of come in and say, Lord, here I am. And this is my list. And we have to, because I've got to get to work and this is what I need. Okay, there's nothing wrong with asking and giving your needs to the Lord, but this is, I think, the right way to do it here. He says, he took the time, and it does take time. He said, I saw the most important thing I had to do was to give myself to the reading of the Word of God and to meditate on it, and meditation on it, that thus my heart might be comforted, encouraged, warned, reproved, instructed, and that thus by means of the Word of God, whilst meditating on it, my heart might be brought into experimental communion with the Lord. I began, therefore, to meditate on the New Testament early in the morning. The first thing I did, after having asked in a few words for the Lord's blessing upon his precious words, or word, a lot of times we'll say, Lord, open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of your law. We might tell the Lord, thank you for your word. I rejoice at your word as one that finds great spoil. But here he says, after just a few words of thanking God for his word, he says, I began to meditate on the Word of God, searching, as it were, into every verse to get blessing out of it, not for the sake of the public ministry. So he wasn't reading it saying, I got a sermon idea, I want to preach, what can I tell other people, and thinking of everybody else. Yeah, they need that. No. He said he read it for the purpose of obtaining food, he said, for my own soul. The result I have found to be almost invariably thus, that after a very few minutes, my soul has been led to confession, or to thanksgiving, or to intercession, or to supplication, so that though I did not, as it were, give myself to prayer, but to meditation, yet it turned almost immediately more or less into prayer. He said he started off reading the Bible. And as he read it, he started saying, wow, Lord, and then I'm sure he was confessing, Lord, I failed you there. And then he started thinking of others and started praying. He combined the meditation and the reading of Scripture with his prayer and integrated that. Not to say he didn't have a list. Of course he did. He had a list that he would pray for. But when people walk, when you walk with God, it's not just for 20, 30 minutes in the morning and that's it. So shut it off. See you tomorrow, God. No, it's all day. Excuse me. Get a drink here. So that's just the beginning. That's just kind of like idling your engine in the morning before you drive your car out of the driveway. You're kind of warming it up. Then as you take it off and you go throughout the day, you're talking to God. And there are other times where you might just ask God something, boom, just like that. So, Lord, I need this parking place. Lord, I really need this right now. My pastor telling me that all the time. He'd be going down, Jack Thompson would go down to WPEO. He had to get in to the radio station for a broadcast. He was running a little late. He asked the Lord, said, Lord, I need a parking place right in front of this place today. He turned around. There was one. That was rare, but there was one. He took it as a direct answer to prayer. A lot of people say, oh, that's a small little thing. Why would you ask for something like that? Well, what's small to God? You know, really, what's big to God? Nothing. God wants us in everything. He said in everything. Pray to him. So we take these things. So in this model prayer, when he starts off and says, verse number 9, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." There's a whole lot there that we come to our Father, we realize who he is, we take the time as we come into God's presence to realize he never leaves us. It's not like we're, you know, walking into a room where he wasn't before. We're always surrounded by God's presence. He's always with us, and thank God for that. He said, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." Thy kingdom come. The prayer next, he says, pray that the things that God wants happen. His will. That's what his will is, what it is that God wants. What does God want on this earth? He wants justice. He wants truth. He wants things that are right. He wants a lot of different than what they're happening right now. He says, as things are happening in heaven, I pray, Lord, your will to be done here on earth. That's as we pray for our loved ones and our friends and our children and our grandchildren. We say, God, may they desire more than anything to do your will. May you work your will into their lives, but may they want it. See, the key for anybody to know God's will, to do God's will, is to have to desire, first of all. So he says here, pray for God's will to be done on earth. So you praise God and you come in and say, our Father. And again, he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Listen, God has a limitless supply for us to come and ask according to his will. That's the key. See, it's not for greed or for, you know, self-aggrandizement. That's a fancy word, just saying I want something for me. No, when a person delights themselves in the Lord, it says, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. Well, a person that has that kind of attitude, that wants God's will and delights in God, they're going to ask for the right things because God's got their heart. And your prayers would be more like, instead of giving me $50, it might be like, give me an opportunity to witness to somebody today. Whoa, wait a minute. It might be God's will for you to have $50 if you need it. Ask. And God will give it to you if you need it. But the thing is God wants us to, how do we know his will and ask for his will? Well, we discern his will through the word of God. And that's the reason why prayer and the word of God go together. We say, how do I pray for something? Well, God will give you the answer. Many times when we know the will of God through the word of God, it makes it a much easier to pray according to God's will. We know, because we know what it is. A lot of people are ignorant because they're ignorant of the Bible. So it goes hand in hand. And George Mueller, I believe, had it right when he coupled that together. You can't take your Bible with you all day long, but you need that Bible time. You're there with God, and as he speaks to you, you take that with you. You can go on a walk. You can go drive and do your work wherever you're at. And during the day, as God brings people to your mind, and that happened to me so many times even with UPS when I would work, I'd see a car that would remind me of one of my kids. And I'd pray again for them, and I'd say, Lord, bless them real good. Watch over them. God, have your will in their life. May they desire to do your will more than anything and love you. You want your children to grow up to love God. You just want them to love the Lord. And so here he says, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Then verse 11, simply, he said, pray for, give us this day our daily bread. That's so simple. It goes hand in hand in the Old Testament with the children of Israel getting manna every day. They went out and gathered manna. He's the bread of heaven, came down, was their sustenance. It's a picture. We need to daily have the bread from heaven. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. We have to get that. That's our nourishment spiritually. It's more important. He says, I've esteemed it more than my necessary food, is what the author said. I think probably Jeremiah said that. But here you've got in this prayer, give us this day our daily bread for our daily needs. So, by the way, did you notice the prayer started without a request? Because remember, prayer is asking, and that's true. That's true. Prayer is asking. But when we talk to God, it's not all prayer. A lot of it's communion and fellowship, because he starts off with, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thou. That's not a request. He's praising God. He's thanking God for who he is, and he realizes who he's coming to. Then he gets down to the request in 10 and 11. And then verse 12, he says, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Now, he's referring there not to monetary debts. He's talking about our trespasses, those things that we offend other people. there's none of us are without offense. We don't realize it a lot of times, but if we know that there's a person that's upset or listen, he says here, you forgive people. You have a forgiving spirit. The spirit of forgiveness, if a person can't forgive, he says, it's implied in this verse, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And the story is in Matthew. We don't have time. We're not going to go there. Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 through 35. The story was of the man that owed an exorbitant amount of money. He could never in his lifetime pay it back. And he was getting ready to have his children, his wife, everybody sold. And fell down and begged, pleaded for mercy. And the man that was his creditor had mercy on him. And he says he forgave him his entire debt. I mean, that would be like you owing a sizable amount of money, $250,000. And they're asking, they're getting ready to foreclose. They're getting ready to do all. They're going to take everything. You're going to be in debt for the rest of your life. And they finally say, we're going to just forgive your debt. I mean, you think about how you'd feel with that. That's like that's a picture of our salvation, something we could never begin to pay in our lifetime, salvation. Then that same person went out and found somebody that owed him like $20. And he said, have patience and I'll pay you. And he says, no way. And he had him thrown in jail. It's kind of like you look at that and you say, how preposterous. You think that is ridiculous. That's how ridiculous it is when a Christian won't forgive another Christian. I mean, you've been forgiven of your sin nature. You're not going to hell. You're justified. But he says, if you live that way as a believer, God can't forgive you. It's not talking about salvation. It's talking about fellowship. That's what I was saying earlier. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, you know, we'll have fellowship one with another. When a Christian has a grudge and an unforgiving spirit, they might as well forget, trying to bow their head and say, Lord, forgive me. For the first thing that's going to come to their mind, the Spirit of God's going to point out, is said, yeah, but what about so-and-so? Are you willing to forgive them? So that's right here in this prayer. And by the way, if you've studied the Bible and learned about the different personalities of all the disciples, they had a few conflicts. They had a few issues between them. All right. And so I'm sure Jesus said, if you got problems with people, you need to forgive others. Some people get on your nerves. They're irritating. Forgive them. Says, well, when do I forgive them? If they come, they got to ask me sincerely before I forgive them. No, they don't. You can forgive them without them even coming and asking. You just forgive them. If you want to be Christ-like, isn't that what Jesus did? That's how he forgave people. He forgave them. He didn't make them crawl on their hands and knees over broken glass and say, yeah, okay, I see you're sincere. Maybe I'll think about it. That's how we are sometimes. It's like, what in the world did you have to do to get saved and forgiven? Trust Jesus, say, Lord, I'm a saint, and he forgave you. That's what we need to do with other people. So he said, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. That's actually the way it's constructed in the Greek. It's talking about the evil one. Deliver us from the evil one. Satan, and by the way, God never tempts any man to sin. He's not praying that. He's not saying pray that you're not led into temptation to sin. He's talking about the trial and the trials that we face. And sometimes Satan himself, he buffets us. Think about the Apostle Paul. I really do think Paul himself, he had the devil's attention. I think the devil was working on Paul. But like preacher said before, I'm not important enough for the devil, you know, to be personally attacking me. And I agree, and I am on that list too, I'm sure, to where I'm not important enough. But here he says, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And then he says, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And at the end again, 14 and 15, he explains. I think it's interesting, after he gave that model prayer and said amen, then he gives the note of exclamation. He reemphasizes 14, for if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Again, these are believers we're talking about. We're talking about saved people. If a person can't get along with another person, then they're not right with God. You have to get right with God with that to happen. And it's amazing that when a person's right with the Lord, they want to be right with their brother. So he says, to finish this all up on the story, making things simple. We try to make coming to God so hard. But George, not George Mueller, Ian Bounds is another author that's written extensively on prayer. And if you've read any of his books, he has many books. I think I've read most of them. Ian Bounds, in his book, I had the reference, I footnote, Purpose in Prayer. In Purpose in Prayer, he said, "The simplicity of prayer, its childlike elements form a great obstacle to true praying." That, he says the intellect gets in the way of the heart. When he's talking about childlike prayer, we're to come to God with childlike trust and faith. Simple. Don't you love the illustration of children in the Bible, how they are just so simple and trusting and believing? And when they come and ask for something as simple as, I mean, Jesus used the illustration in another place, if they ask for an egg, he said, are you going to give them a scorpion? You know, if they ask for this, what you're going to... He says, if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, he says, don't you think God does the same thing? And here in this book, this little excerpt, I'll quickly read it and I'll be done. He said, the simplicity of prayer, its childlike elements form a great obstacle to true praying. Intellect gets in the way of the heart. The child spirit only is the spirit of prayer. It is no holiday occupation to make the man a child again. In song, in poetry, in memory, he may wish himself a child again, but in prayer, he must be a child again in reality, at his mother's knees, artless, sweet, intense, direct, trustful, with no shade of doubt, no temper to be denied, a desire which burns and consumes, which can only be voiced by a cry. It is no easy work to have this child life spirit of prayer. If praying were but an hour in the closet, difficulties would face and hinder even that hour. But praying is the whole life preparing for the closet. How difficult it is to cover home and business, all the sweets and all the bitters of life with the holy atmosphere of the closet. A holy life is the only preparation for prayer. It is just as difficult to pray as it is to live a holy life. It says, in this we find a wall of exclusion built around our closets. Men do not love holy praying because they do not love and will not do holy living. And he gives on other things, but the thing I wanted to emphasize in that first part of that paragraph was the simplicity of the children in their heart as they come to the Lord and pray. And that's what we need to ask God to help us to have a childlike faith and just simple. He wants a simple prayer. And again, like I say, I try to make things too hard, but a lot of times I'll see an instance that comes that I'm anxious about, and I just learn to say, Lord, I just give this to you and I'm going to trust you. Have your will and give it to God and leave it, and then don't fret and worry about it. You know how you know if you've left it or not? When you stop worrying and fretting about it. Because when you leave it with the Lord, you realize it's in good hands. And I like to take, you have to do that with your children. You have to do that with your grandchildren. You have to do that with your family members and loved ones. You just have to say, Lord, here they are. I'm committing to you. My hands are off. I'm trusting you, God. Have your will here in this matter. Whatever it is that you're praying for, have simple childlike faith. Trust God to do what's right and leave it. And then we don't have to be anxious and worry. And if we continue to be, then we realize we got to come back and say, Lord, I've got to trust you. Just simply like a child. You ever notice when you tell a child, they just are so believing. You can tell them that the moon's made out of cheese. And they're like, yeah, what kind of cheese? You know, but they believe, they just believe you, so they're so trusting. I think little children, when you give them food to eat, they open their mouth. They trust you, you're giving them good food, okay? You know, children are just so loving and trusting, and that's the way many times I stop and think, Lord, I want to be a child again. And Christine Wurtzen has that song, Make Me Like a Child Again. Make me simple and trusting. And I want to be that way with the Lord when it comes to where I need something. I can go to my Father, Abba Father, Daddy, and I can say, Lord, I'm really worried about this, or this is really bothering me, and I need you to really help me in this. And you just be totally frank. And that's prayer. And I prayed some of my most sincere prayers that God has answered just like that in a heartbeat, in a moment. When my UPS truck was sliding sideways on the ice down the pass at a group of cars, Lord, help. It's like one of those Peter prayers, right? When he's sinking, help, Lord. There's no time for our Father in heaven. We don't have time for that. That's another time, right? But this is when you say, Lord, help. And God's right there. And I love that about it, because when you spend that other time in prayer with God, then throughout the day, you come up on those situations where it's help, or Lord, help me, or right then, or what do I do here? And God answers prayer that way. So thank God that for this simple model prayer, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And he says, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. When you realize that you're in such hands, in capable hands, as God the Father, we should never waste a moment of our time ever anxious or worrying about anything. That's why Paul said, in everything, with supplication, thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ. It's that simple. But again, what do? My confession is I make it complicated sometimes. I got to do all of this. No, God wants us just simply like a child, come and pray. So that's the message tonight. That's the study on a look at the model prayer.